taking a trip when the south wind blew softly. They boarded a ship, destination already planned. They were guided by God's mighty hand. But soon after the ship set sail, they encountered a stormy gale. When the sun did not shine, old Paul did not whine. He said, I believe God.
And I believe God, though the lightning is flashing. I believe God, though the thunder is crashing. I believe God, when the storm is all past. We'll reach the other side safe at last. For the Lord stood by me in the darkest night. He said, sweet child of mine, everything is all right. You're never alone.
We'll make it on home. For
I believe God.
Along life's path, arms to face. But we're gonna make it by amazing grace. It's been good for each mile, good for every trial that I've gone. So I'll keep holding to God's mighty hand, 'cause I know one day when I reach that shore, gonna shout it one. I believe God.
And I believe God, though the lightning is flashing. I believe God, though the thunder is crashing. I believe God, when the storm is all past. We'll reach the other side safe at last. For the Lord stood by me in the darkest night. He said, sweet child of mine, everything is all right. You're never alone. We'll make it on home. For I believe God. And I believe God, though the lightning is flashing. I believe God, though the thunder is crashing. I believe God, when the storm is all past. We'll reach the other side safe at last. For the Lord stood by me in the darkest night. He said, sweet child of mine, everything is all right. We're never alone. We'll make it on home. For I believe God. You're never alone. We'll make it on home. For I believe God.
Amen. Do you believe Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that song. Amen. And it'll fit right along with the message tonight and everything. So praise the Lord. God seems to always work those things out too. Amen. And it's good to be here. We sure do love you all and appreciate you. And this church means a lot to us. I was just thinking while I was sitting down there at the beginning, the first time that I came here was in the old building. And so that many years ago. How many years you been in the new building? Anybody know? How many? 21. Okay. And it was a few years prior to that. I'd probably only been in the ministry. I just finished 26 years. I think it was probably the second year that I was in the ministry. And Brother Taylor was trying to encourage me to talk to a bunch of preachers and try to get in churches. And yeah, I'm a 38-year-old guy trying to get started in evangelism. And and I went up to your preacher and just introduced myself to him. He kind of looked at me like, who are you, you know, and told him what I was doing and where I was at. And he gave me the opportunity to come. And I don't know if anybody ever remembers it or not, but just to present what we were doing as a field representative of the camp in Mount Salem there. And that was my first time here. And boy, I've sure grown to love your preacher. He's become a very dear friend to me. As an evangelist, sometimes it's difficult. You have your pastor and you counsel with your pastor, but sometimes it's difficult and you need some other men that you can counsel with. And I'm not just saying this, your preacher is the number one guy that I turn to for counsel. And he's an encourager. And man, I'm telling you, I was going through some things just recently and he said some words to me that just so encouraged my soul. And I thank the Lord for him. And I miss seeing him. And miss being able to spend a little bit of time with him, but pray and inform that the Lord will bless him over there. Again, we've enjoyed the time with you. The book table's back there. You've done a lot, bought a lot of the books up. We got some left back there and some Bibles. I do have one study Bible back there, and maybe you just kind of looked at it. What is this? It says Open Bible, but it is a really, really good study Bible. If you're looking for a study Bible, it starts out with about 200 pages of biblical encyclopedia, and then at the back, it's almost like a Thompson Chain reference in the back of it. And then every book of the Bible, it breaks it down at the beginning of the book in very great detail. And the one thing I like about it is it shows you in the beginning of each book where you find Christ in that book. And just really good study Bible. So if you're interested in those, we have those back there also. Well, grab your Bible if you would and turn with me to, let me see here. Let's turn to 1 Peter because I'm going to read a passage there before I get to where we're going to. But, you know, the song that they just sang, I believe God. Thank God that we can believe him and trust him. You know, what I'm talking about tonight, what I want to talk about is trials. And trials are a part of every one of our lives. As much as we hate or even despise trials as we go into those things, we have to remember that God has allowed those things to happen and we can be victorious through those things. And as a matter of fact, think about this. We are the ones who give the trials power over us. And you think about that, but we are the ones who give the trials the power over us. God doesn't want that to be. He wants us to be victorious over them. And if we lose out and if we fail in the trials, it's not God's fault. It's our lack of faith and our confidence and our trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Boy, I say oftentimes I believe this might be the most difficult command to follow. What do you mean? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, that's the part that really messes everything up, isn't it? Leaning upon our own understanding. We're always trying to understand it and figure it out and trying to, we're jumping way ahead of God and just instead of just trusting God and waiting on him. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Amen. If we'll just have that faith and confidence in him. 1 Peter, I ask you to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I love this little passage here in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Notice, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Amen. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Think about this. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, notice what he says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you get it, what the Lord's saying here. The trial of our faith is so much more precious to God than any gold, any silver, anything. Why? Because when we're tried in our faith and we continue to trust him and believe him, man, he's glorified through that. And he gets honor through that, and he can use us. It was said earlier that man, God puts us through the things he puts us through to be able to be used later on. Amen. So that we can help other people. You know, it says here at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, surely when he returns, but I'm going to tell you what: if we're looking, he appears in the trials too. Amen. He shows up in the trials. Amen. And we get to see him if we're just looking for him and we're trusting him. What I want to preach on tonight is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. If you would turn back to Daniel chapter number 3. And of course, it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And being an old fireman, I love this story. You know, when I first started in the ministry, I know, Brother Bragg, you're laughing at me. But when I first started in the ministry, this is one of the passages I preached on a whole lot. Why? Because I could relate to it a lot. Amen. And what these guys were going through is they were facing a fire and all that. And this is such a powerful, powerful, powerful story here. And what I want to do is I want to break it down, and I'm going to pray with you, and then we're going to break it down as we go. But I'll give you the title of the message here, and just think about it. If you trust Him going into the fire, what you're going to find coming out. If you trust Him going into the fire, what you're going to find coming out. Boy, these boys found out some things coming out of the fire that were just miraculous. And I'm going to tell you, every trial that we face in life, God means it for good. And He wants to bring something powerful out of it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this privilege and opportunity to be with these people that we love so dearly. We thank You for the preacher. Please bless him, Lord. And Miss Angel, take care of them on the field over there with Ben and Ashley and the kids, and help them to have a wonderful time. I pray that You would bless and meet with us tonight in the service, Father. Again, as I said this morning, we need to hear from You, Lord. And I pray that the message You've laid on my heart would meet the needs and the lives of the people as only the power of Your Spirit can do, and the power of Your Word. And I pray that You'd accomplish that tonight. And God, whatever's going on in the lives of the people here, I don't know their lives. I don't know the details. I don't know their situations. I don't know the trials they're facing. I don't know the trials they're in the middle of. But God, You do. And You're the God that wants to give them victory over it. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be refreshed as we go through this passage tonight. Encourage us, and we'll be very careful to give You the honor and the praise and the glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. If we begin to read Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to grab this water real quick. And thank you for praying for me and my throat and all that. I feel a whole lot better, really, even though it may not sound like it. But it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof. In the breadth thereof 6 cubits, he set it up in the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. I'm not going to read down through the whole passage, but you know what happened here is that they made this thing, and they put together the music of the band, if you would, and had them play this music and everything. And at the sound of the music, everybody was supposed to bow down and to worship this image that they had created. And if not, that they would be cast into a burning fiery furnace. It says down in verse 6, whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. It says, therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verses 8 through 12 tell us that there was an accusation, and if you would, a setup of these ungodly people. It says, wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews and spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the flute, or the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Of course, verse 13, man, the king's upset. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now notice this challenge. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? You know, basically he was saying, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship me and to worship my image. And I love what these boys said, though. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what? We're not even hesitating in what we're about to tell you here. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Boy, if we could just believe that tonight, that he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Do you really believe that tonight, people? That he can deliver you from a burning fiery furnace? Amen. They literally, they're facing a literal burning fiery furnace, but they said, we believe that he's able to do this. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. One way or another, he's going to deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I preached a message again years and years and years ago when I first started in evangelism called Skip the Music. What do you mean? You can just skip the music because we ain't bowing down. We ain't going to bow down to that image or whatever. And so it says in verse number 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Can I ask you a question? How many is 1 7? Thank you. 17. You know, when I was studying, and I didn't go off to Bible college. I never attended a Bible college. I know. Shame on me. I studied at home. I studied on my own. I studied, but I took some courses, and in some of the courses I took, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. A book that I read, they said, you know, it really doesn't mean that they heated it up 17 times as hot. That was just an exaggeration for an effect. An exaggeration for an effect. They said 1 7 times as hot. Amen. You know, like I said earlier, when I said this morning about my mama read that. She believed exactly what it said. 1 7 times as hot. Amen. That means they cranked that furnace way up there. Amen. I mean, and boy, I can only imagine the heat that was there. And it goes on to say this in the next verse. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, they cranked this thing up so hot that the heat was so intense. It says that these men were bound in their coats, their hose in their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You think about that. It was so hot that the mightiest of his men that took them down there were consumed by the fire. Again, relating to firefighting, okay? I was in a fire one time, and I was a firefighter in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and big city. We had a fire in a city just a little bit south west of us called Saline, Michigan. And they had a big Ford plant there. And, well, one day we were out and about in the city. It's 12 miles away. And all of a sudden we looked and we saw a column of smoke coming up. I mean, it looked like it was right there. And all of a sudden we got a call for backup. And we had to travel 12 miles over to Saline. What happened was the back of the Ford plant, all the bins of parts that they had caught on fire. And I mean, we're talking a huge Ford plant. By the time we got there, you could feel the heat before you even pulled into the driveway to get to where the place was. You could not get near the fire. It was that hot. Literally, we opened our fog nozzles up and we tried to cool down the air to get close enough to get water on the fire. That's what I think about when I think about this here. Man, they stoked that furnace up so hot that those men, they couldn't take it and bear it themselves. They were consumed, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do you mean, man? They fell down bound right in the midst of the fiery furnace, still alive. Amen. And it goes on to say, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth, notice, is like the Son of God. Again, I go back to my days of trying to study. All these theologians are whacked out. The same book that I was reading, they were trying to teach me out of, said that, well, you know, really, that's not what it really said in the original. And really, truly, more than likely, it was not Christ in the fire with them. It was like to one of the sons of God. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to believe what that King James Bible says. Amen. It was Jesus in the fire with him. Amen. I mean, that king, how in the world would he know what Jesus looked like? Amen. But he said, this is like the Son of God. Amen. So now we begin to see what they begin to find in this fire. It says, it said that there was no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake. I mean, he didn't want to get too close, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. What happened to the binding? It was released. Amen. They came walking right out of that fire. Can you imagine? Now, here's where we find the things that they found when they trusted God going into it. Here's what they found coming out. The first thing, God is faithful. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the problem is not in God's faithfulness to us. It's our faithfulness to Him. It's our faithfulness to trust Him, just to believe Him. Man, He is able. Amen. He's able to help us through any fiery trial that we face in our life. Just to have that trust and confidence in Him. Man, He was right there in the midst of the fire with Him. And by the way, He's going to be there in the midst of your fire too. The trial that you're going through, whatever it may be. I think about, look back if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And you know this passage of Scripture. But I love what he said there. There's so much, it's so applicable to each and every one of us. Talking to the Apostle Paul and the trial that he was going through. And, excuse me. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You look that word buffet up, it says to strike with the fist. Imagine Satan just beating, pounding on you. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Oh, I love these words. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It didn't say he was strong. No, he said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. If we could just get that in our mind. When we're at our weakest point, that's when we're at our strongest point if we're trusting the Lord. Amen. He said, I'm going to trust your word, God. I'm going to trust what you're telling me. And I'm going to tell you something. God's all-sufficient grace will be there for each and every one of us in the trials that we face in our life. He will never fail us and he'll never forsake us. Amen. I don't know what the trial is that you're going through right now, but I'll promise you, if you'll just trust him going into it, you're going to find some things coming out of it. And the first one is that he's a faithful God. Amen. I think of really, the fact is, everything for the Christian is dependent upon the fact that God is faithful. If he wasn't faithful, we would have no hope whatsoever. Thank God that he is faithful. I was thinking about so many different stories and things that I've been through in my life. And, of course, I've shared many times, again, my testimony and what I had to go through as a child. And, again, I said this morning, remembering those times when we would just sit and pray and ask the Lord not to let Dad come home because we knew what was going to happen, the violence that was going to take place and all those things that were going to go on. You know, that was before I was saved. Now, that might hair lip some people, but God answered those prayers. What do you mean? There were times where he kept Dad away. There were times that Dad may have came home, but he protected us from that. I'm going to tell you what. I was talking to Miss Sterling afterwards, and she said, oh, my, I started crying, thinking back. And there's people that go through this, and nobody can know unless you've been in it and been through it. But we were just that close to dying, every one of us, every time he came in. It was that bad a situation. But God was faithful. Amen. What are you saying? Oh, it may look bleak. It may look dark. But I'm going to tell you, you just keep trusting him and he's going to show himself to you. He's going to show that he's faithful to you. He'll bring you through it. He'll bring you out of it. Amen. First thing that they found coming out was that God is faithful. The second thing, as we continue to read down through here, notice what it says here. It says, and the princes, governors, verse 27, and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Well, what about that? An actual, literal fire had no power over these people. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Second thing, what they, trusting the Lord going into the fire, what they found coming out was that the fire really had no power over them. Amen. We can relate it to the situations that we go through in life. What do you mean? Really, truly, if we'll trust God in the trials that come into our life and come our way, we're at the end of it. We'll be able to look back and say, you know what? That fire really had no power over my life. God kept me through it. He was faithful to me. He protected me and preserved me. He was there for me all the way through. Amen. The fire of a trial has no power over us if we're trusting the Lord. Amen. I think of the just a few chapters over in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel in the den of lions. You know the story there. And just look over in chapter 6 real quick. We'll read a few verses here. You know what happened, and the decree was signed that everybody had to make their petition to the king, and they couldn't pray to any other god or anybody else. And it says that Daniel, when he knew the writing was signed in verse 10, that he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Hey, another fiery trial, if you would. I mean, okay, here's what the king says. You can't worship your God. By the way, what are we going to do when our government tells us that? The day's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. What are we going to do? Are we going to bow down and do whatever they say? Or are we going to trust the Lord through the fiery trial that comes into our life? Amen. And so he continued to bow. He continued to pray. It says in verse number, skip down a little bit. The king actually loved Daniel. It says in verse 14, the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. The king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of the Lord's, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Wow, an ungodly king, and he's fasting for Daniel. It says, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He knew what the probability was, that he wasn't going to hear Daniel's voice back again. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him in instancy was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You think about that. The power of the trial. That you don't think those lions were hungry? Oh, I've heard, yeah, all the naysayers and all the atheists and all about the Bible. And, you know, oh, it just, you know, that story of Daniel. The lions weren't hungry. Really? Daniel said that the angel came and closed their mouths. And they got hungry real quick. Because when they took Daniel out of there and they threw those people in and made the decree, it says they break their bones and they ate them up. Amen. What are you saying? I mean, really, truly, if we will trust God going into the fire, we're going to find out that he's faithful and that the fire really has no power over us. Amen. The trial really has no power. As I said earlier, we're the ones who give the trial the power in our life. Amen. When we fail to trust him, oh, how he can keep us through it and how he can protect us. So many situations that I can think of in my life, and relating to firefighting too, that where God kept us safe in situations where there's a couple different situations that I went through firefighting where my life should have been over with, and God was hand of protection was there and kept me safe through it, protected me, because He had a purpose for my life, like what Brother Sterling talked about this morning, just trying to fulfill that purpose. Amen. And He's a faithful God, I'm telling you. And He wants to prove Himself to us. Hey, He challenges us. Prove me there. Come on. I want you to prove. I want to show you who I am. I want to show you that I'm that faithful God. I want to show you that the trials that you go through will really, truly have no power over you. First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. I love this verse here. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Amen. We shouldn't think it strange when the fiery trials come into this life. It's a part of this life. But the most wonderful thing is we've got a God that's more powerful than all the trials that we face. Amen. Those trials really have no power over us. That's what these men found out here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fire had no power. I like this next thing, too. Next thing it says here in chapter 3 again, in verse number 27, we read already, but let's read it again. It says, "And the princes, the governors, captains, king, counselors gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Notice, nor was an hair of their head singed." Can I tell you that's impossible? Notice what it goes on to say. "Neither were their coats changed." This is really impossible. "Nor the smell of fire had passed on them." That is impossible. You say, "Brother Martin, are you questioning the Bible?" No. I'm saying I'm thankful I've got a God of the impossible. Amen. What do you mean? Man, when I would go and fight fire, you'd ask my wife. We go in and fight a fire. I mean, we're covered up and we've got our mask on. We've got our Nomex hoods on. We've got our triple layer Nomex gear on and breathing through our air tank and everything. And we'd go in and fight fire. We'd come out. We would stink so bad. And I'd go home and my wife always wanted me to strip my clothes off before I even came close to the door because it stunk so bad. And she'd wash those clothes. She'd have to wash them two or three times. I'd go in and shower up. I'm going to tell you, for 3 days, smoke oozed from my body, the smell of smoke. There was not a smell of smoke on these guys. What are you saying? The third thing that I want to say is what they found coming out of it was that God can remove any lasting negative effects that the fire could have on you. Amen. Man, yes. And let me tell you something. Trials can have lasting negative effects. But if you're trusting God, He can remove those lasting negative effects. Amen. I look at my life again, go back to as a child in the home that we grew up in. The four of us children, an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. And the truth of the matter is the four of us went through all the same thing. And we all got saved at young ages. But two of the four have really struggled with just trusting God. One of them, my sister, that's younger than me, passed away last year. She had a lot of struggles the last number of years of her life. And a lot of it went back to what we had to deal with. What are you saying? It did have lasting negative effects because she allowed it to. Well, I love my sister, man. I can't wait to see her in heaven again. But she allowed it to have those effects on her. My brother, my younger brother, the same thing. He has allowed what he went through to have lasting negative effects. But I'm going to tell you something. my older sister and myself, by the grace of Almighty God, have just decided we're going to trust the Lord. And whatever happened back there, hey, it's in the past. Hey, it's covered under the blood. God's taking care of that. He's set us on a new path and a new road. We're just going to live for Him and trust Him. And it's had no negative effects on our life. Amen. I've been able to help so many different men. I could name preachers to you right now that I have knelt with at an altar who had just a little bit of trials and adversity with their father. Nothing like what I went through. And they have come crying to me and saying, how in the world could you do it? Can you help me? Can you help me to be able to get through this? And I've been able to help other preachers to get through those things. And what are you saying? What did I say back in the beginning? Those trials that come into our life, God wants to take those and use them to help other people down the road too. Amen. If we'll just trust Him as we go through it. The truth is, the fire doesn't have to have lasting effects on our life. Again, we're the ones that give it to it. Amen. I know sometimes that's hard to try to comprehend or take in, but that's because we're thinking of it with a human mind. Amen. God looks at it from heaven and He knows what He can do for everybody. Hey, if He can cause them to have no smell of fire on them, He can take any negative effects that the trial has in your life away. Amen. Where it doesn't affect you for years beyond. If it's still battling, you're still going through effects because of it, it's not God's fault. Amen. Oh, to just trust Him through it. Not a hair of their head singed. Not a smell, not the coats not changed, not a smell of smoke. Good night. What an impossible feat that our impossible God did for these young men. Amen. You know, I think about that and I think, you know, God bring us through a fire in our life to leave us crippled? That's not my God. You say, but wait a minute. You look at people, okay, Brother Martin, you mentioned this morning. You talked about Fanny Crosby. Look at her life. Look how her life was crippled. Oh, you missed the whole story then. Her life wasn't crippled. Oh, there's something that happened to her, but she did not allow that to cripple her life. She trusted the Lord through it. And she praised God all the way to the end of her life, into her 90s, for what she was able to do and accomplish for the Lord, being blind all those years. What are you saying? It's all in the approach and the attitude that you take and whether you're going to trust the Lord through it. Amen. He can remove that. He can use your life. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I talked to so many people and counsel with so many people that are hindered and crippled in their life because of trials they've been through. Brother Bragg, pastoring all the years. So many people. You don't have to live that way. And you've got a God that wants you to live victoriously. He didn't save just to give you eternal life, but He saved you to give you, as it says in John 10:10, life more abundantly. Amen. Don't let the trial defeat you. Realize the trial really has no power over you if you keep your eyes on the Lord, trust Him. Hey, there won't be any lasting negative effects that will hinder you. Can you imagine the stories that these boys were able to tell their children and grandchildren and all? I can see those children and grandchildren at devotion time. Their eyes that big. Man, it slew all the mighty men. And we fell down in there. And God used the fire to get the bond. Think about that. Used the fire to get the things that were binding us free. And He came in the fire with us. Man, oh man, oh man. The stories that we can tell if we'll just trust God going through the trial. The fourth thing is simply this. Boy, I love this. It says, in verse number 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom have sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cast and cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You know, the next thing they found trusting God going into the fire, what they found coming out, was that God would be exalted by other people. God would be exalted by the heathen. Amen. I go back to going into the fire department. I'm going to tell you, when I went in the fire department, I was so looking forward to this. I got hired. I was one of seven guys that were, I was the last one. I was the seventh person on the seniority list hired out of a group of 900 people that took the exam. We were put on a list of 50 other people that were already waiting, but I was hired in that group, seven people. Man, I was so excited. You know how you cut deals with God? Oh, God, if you let me do that, if you let me get this, God, I'll do this and I'll do that. Man, I was cutting deals with God. And I'll do my best to be a witness to you for you and all that. And man, I remember going through the training and all before we had to go through 240 hours of training before we actually started on the job. And then we started as probationary firefighters. And that very first day on the job, I was so excited. I don't drink, eat breakfast. I just drink coffee. So, but at lunchtime, I went and got my tray table and 26 firefighters and a bunch of other staff and administrative people at the main station, and got my tray table, got my food, sat down at the table to eat my meal, you know, just tucked my chair. And I don't know these guys now. I'm put on a shift. Maybe one or two of the other guys that were hired in was on that shift. That's it. And I just bowed my head to say my little blessing. And you ever get the feeling people are staring at you? And so I said a quick prayer. I don't know how long, but it was quick, I'm sure. And I look up and there's a guy leaning across the table. And I mean, he's that close to my face. And he goes, "Well, well, well. What do we got ourselves here? Some kind of preacher or something?" And the entire place busted out laughing. I mean, everybody. The administrative staff, everybody. I'm thinking, good night, what did I get myself into? You talk, well, that was just the beginning of a fiery trial that I was going into. Not just being a firefighter, but having to deal with what I had to deal with. I mean, you say, what'd you do? About probably what you'd do. I had to get alone. God, please, you got to help me. I don't know what am I supposed to do now? What am I? Got my meal that night, got my tray table, sat down, tucked my chair in, said my little prayer to myself. Just opened my eyes, looked up. Everybody's staring at me. They're laughing, cutting up, laughing. So what'd you do? I just kept doing it. Kept saying, okay, Lord. I got transferred to another station. Just so many amazing things. Within 2-3 years, they're asking me to pray for the meals. God transferred me to a station where the entire station, the group of guys that were there, were all Christians. But God allowed me to have impact in those people's lives. I was able to lead four of them people to the Lord. I witnessed every one of them. The very first year, they always have a... I'll tell you, firefighters are some wicked people. If there's any out here, I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about. They had this gift exchange at Christmas. But it was always a lewd, crude gift exchange. And you were to buy something that to try to be better than the lewd and crude of everybody else. So, I drew one of the old guys' names. We draw names. And I bought him a Bible. And gave him a Bible. By the way, not then, but he came to me afterward and thanked me. And the guy that drew my name, just in 6 months of being there, the Lord allowed me, or he was able to have enough testimony through my life, through all the mess ups that I did make, that the guy that drew my name, and he was an older guy too, and I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. He brought it. He said, Danny, I wasn't going to get you anything like what they're doing. He said, I hope maybe this is something you can use. And I opened it up, and he bought me a copy of The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. What are you saying? Just those little things. When I left the fire department, and this is the honest truth, you can ask my wife. When we left Belleville, Metro Baptist Church in Belleville, left the fire department to go into ministry, I had 5 years to go to retire. I had 15 years in. I had 5 years military time. I could retire in 5 years, but we went to Mount Salem with no support, no salary, no nothing. Just trusting the Lord. They could not comprehend it. They couldn't understand it. But those firemen that would come and talk to me said, Danny, just like this, Danny, we believe if that's what you feel, God's going to take care of you. There were people in the church that were saying, oh, are you crazy? Are you? Russell Anderson, that was the church I was in, with Brother Anderson. He was in the church that I went to. Russell Anderson came, what are you doing, Dan? What are you doing? He slapped me on the side of the head. He said, God would have to slap me upside the head to get me to do something like that. I said, well, you don't have to slap me. I'm going to listen to what he's telling me to do. Amen. What are you saying? When I left, the chief of the department tried to give me $10,000 of his own personal money. And I said, Chief, I can't take your money. This is something that God's doing, and God's trying to. This had nothing to do with who I am. It's everything to do with who He is. And he said, I don't understand it. Why won't you? He said, I'll keep your job. I'll keep your position. It'll for 2 years. If something doesn't happen, you come back. I said, don't keep it because I'm not coming back. One of the firemen, the guy that I led to the Lord that I told you about 20 years after being gone from the fire department, he told me after I led him to the Lord that time and we were talking, and he said, I still remember when the chief of the department came in and said, I'm holding Danny Martin's position for 2 years, as long as it's okay with the, and everybody said, yeah, sure, whatever. But what are you saying? God allowed me to have favor with them, and when everything went the way it went, God was exalted in their life. I was able to see more people influenced, still make an impact in people's lives because of it. Listen, if we'll just face the trial, trusting the Lord, God can do so much. We'll find so much on the end of it. And the last thing was in verse number 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God will promote you. He'll lift you up. What we read at the very beginning in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7, that the trial of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Listen, God wants to take the trials and use them to show you who He is, to get other people to lift Him up and exalt Him. Now listen, this is one of the areas where we really fail, because when we don't trust Him through it, sometimes God doesn't get the glory that He's looking to get through those trials that we're going through. But He wants to get that glory out of it. And in turn, He's going to turn around and lift us up because of it. What are you saying? Well, just a few things that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned by trusting God going into the fire, what they found coming out. What did they find coming out? God's faithful. Amen. That the fire really had no power over them. The trial really had no power. Third thing was that He could remove any of the lasting negative effects that trial could have had over them. He can do it for you and I too. He'll be exalted, and He'll promote you and I. I don't know if you're heading into a trial right now. I don't know if you're coming out of a trial right now. I don't know if you're right in the middle of a trial right now. But if you say, well, I'm not in any of those things, you don't know it, but it's coming. Because that's part of this life. That's part of what it's all about. But you just have to remind yourself, as the story is tonight, God will be faithful. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Father, I pray that you would just take this simple little thought and, Lord, encourage some people tonight. I don't know who's going through a hard time or what. I really believe you laid this on my heart for a purpose and a reason. And, Lord, whatever's going on in people's lives, I pray that they would be more inclined to just trust you through the fire that's facing them. And, Lord, help them to be able to see you on the other side of it, Lord, and to be able to give you all that glory and praise that you so deserve. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd just say, Brother Martin, that's me tonight. I needed this. God spoke to my heart. Would you just remember me in prayer? You'd slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. That's a number of hands across the crowd. I always ask this question. Is there one tonight that would say, Brother Martin, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. But boy, that's something I would really love to know. That when my life is over, that I'll be able to go to heaven and be with God eternally. Would you pray for me, Brother Martin? I'm not embarrassed. I just want to pray for you. Slip a hand up. Pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that, but I want to know that. Anybody at all? Then let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, this is your time to just come and bow before your Heavenly Father. Whatever it is He's spoken to you about, just talk to Him. Amen. Hey, maybe you just need to say, forgive me for not trusting you, God. Or maybe you want to glory in Him and say, God, thank you for being with me in this trial and me knowing that you're with me. But whatever it is, why don't you come? Father, please bless the altar time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Musician plays. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come?